And we're back. You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Walden, and we have our guests with us today who have been touched in some way by cancer. We've got Siobhan Richardson, Annie McRae, and Latoya Brown. Right before the break, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about communication with dealing with this diagnosis. You know, there are some things that people might say to you, but people don't really know what to say. You know, how you doing today? Not too good. Mm-hmm. Or are you okay? Well, not really, but maybe how is today going? You know, just some of the things that maybe we should say or should not say. Miss Annie, how have you been dealing or coping with your cancer? What are some of the things that might have been said to you that were the right things to say during this time for you?
Well, I would encourage anybody, if you don't have God in your life, I would love to tell you, you need to get in connection with God. Because God, when you're going through something like that, your faith in God helps you an awful lot. And you realize that people don't know what to say. A lot of times people ask me, am I doing okay? Well, I felt like I was just doing fine, because a lot of times God was just, he was just carrying me. And I continued to do the things that I was doing. I went to church. I continued to cook. I continued to see about children. And everything that I normally did, I continued to do it most of the time. And, you know, people around me, they would say, how you doing today? Mom, you need to stop and go sit down and go lay down. Everybody was encouraging me to do things like that. But I had a little bit more energy than they thought I had.
I like the word continue that you've used, because, you know, if something is working, You keep doing it, especially if it's a coping mechanism. Right. And you mentioned that you were kind of a health nut, you know, beforehand. Right. You know, how much more, you know, do you continue to do the things that are right, that you know are right to do, like right. exercise and things like that?
Right.
Latoya, what are some of the things that you might have, maybe a phrase or something that you might have been able to say to your mom to help her cope?
My mother used to always encourage us as, you know, her children. And sometimes you have to use those very things back to offer the encouragement there. My mother used to always tell us that, of course, this too shall pass. My mother used to always tell us to just keep on living, you know. And we would just kind of feed back into my mom some of those things that she always encouraged us. My mother was very optimistic as we grew up, and we knew to give her back those same optimistic type thoughts. And whenever we came around her, we wanted to make sure that she saw life in us. We didn't show doom and gloom. We didn't show, you know, that we were fearful of anything. What we showed her, just even in our conversation, yes. or just in our look, that there was hope, positiveness. We talked about what we were going to do, you know, once she felt better. And then my girls, they were little people. So they would, you know, when they came around, they gave her life. My mother is a very proud grandmother. She's a very proud mother. And having her children, her husband, her grandkids around her was continued life. So I would say to any of the listeners, anybody out there who's experiencing this, to wave the naysayers away. If someone comes to you and they're, you know, you mentioned that someone in your family or you yourself is facing cancer, when they immediately say things like, oh, that you have to block that. Because cancer does not mean the end.
Right.
Cancer is a process.
Right.
And you have to be willing to, you know, go through the process and be an overcomer. So I would just say, stay positive, feed as much positive energy as you can into the family, yourself, and the person
Indeed.
Going through it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. We're in this process for another 30 minutes. So if you're out there and you have a question for our cancer survivor, family member, or even a representative from Blue Flowers, please give us a call at 404-880-9255. Of course, you can tweet us at CCRTD. I have a question for you, Siobhan. Mm-hmm. Why blue? You guys, she's with Blue Flowers. You can't see her, but she's wearing these beautiful blue-flowered dress. Tell us why blue. As one of the guests mentioned, blue typically is related to being kind of blue or down, but in fact, it's what?
Before I answer that question, I do want to piggyback a little bit on the communication aspect. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, being the patriarch of our family and being a man of faith, being a man of what's your ailment? I have a book for that. I have a supplement for that. He was always the go-to person for us to be of spiritual support for all of us. And so when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, it was our turn to be of support for him. And one thing he would always say is, everything's going to be all right. And to your point, LaToya, feeding that back, everything's going to be all right, bottling all that positivity that they put and instilled in you through all the years of you growing up. It's your turn to give it back. And a few weeks before he died, I want to say maybe 3 weeks, we had a birthday party for him. And all our friends and family were there. And it was so beautiful because they always say you give a person their flowers while they're still living. And everyone had a chance to share just beautiful words and just love and support. And for us, that was just a beautiful moment that in his last weeks of life that he was able to enjoy. And so that was special for us. I just had to share that. I just had to share that for a moment. And so really touching on the name of our organization, Blue Flowers Org, and the significance of the color blue. So blue, it's usually light blue, is the color for prostate cancer awareness. But also, you know, when they reference a bride wearing something blue, that's a symbol for fidelity. Blue is also a calming color when people are going through any disastrous time, whether it's medically or whatever. And so that's why we gave ourselves the name Blue Flowers Org. And because we're women empowering the men in our lives against prostate cancer, it was only fitting to name our organization Blue Flowers.
Awesome. Awesome. Love that. We're going to take a pause here. We do have a caller on the line. We have Elle in Atlanta. Elle? Are you there?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
I'm not sure if you all could point me in the right direction in regards to Blue Flowers, but my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015. She had a mastectomy in 2016. Unfortunately, it was metastatic, and it went and caused a brain tumor, which she had to have a brain surgery at the end of last year. She's doing great right now by the grace of God, of course. And I was totally up in here, like raising my hands and everything to everything Ms. Ann said, because you have to, you have to be so positive, so prayerful. It's ridiculous how your cup has to overflow with the blessings that you have in your face when you're dealing with this. And unfortunately with my situation and dealing with it, I'm an only child on my mother's side. So I'm literally dealing with work, dealing with my stuff, dealing with her stuff, having to make sure that she's okay. And the thing that kept us lightweight sane was prayer and laughter. I always had to keep her laughing, always had to find the humor in something every day, and that becomes stressful. But my question is, because she had to go through physical therapy after the brain surgery and speech therapy, she actually aced both of them, as where they released her earlier than what I expected, but she's still having issues with her speech. And I wanted to know, would Blue Flowers have any resources that I could possibly contact in the city that could assist with speech therapy sessions and everything? You know, I have all her insurance and everything squared away. I know that it will cost, and I know her insurance will cover those, but I just want to find a comfortable facility for her so she doesn't become frustrated mm-hmm. through the process of trying to, I guess, learn how to speak again clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On any suggestions?
Yeah, well, our organization, we specifically deal with supporting women, men, and their families against prostate cancer. So we deal with the mental, physical, and spiritual aspects of prostate cancer. However, you know, we're pretty well connected with the other organizations and hospitals in the area. And so, you know, if I know of anything, I would definitely love to reach out, maybe talk to some people, make some phone calls on your behalf. If you can visit our website, it's www.blueflowers.org. So one more time, that's www.blueflowers.org. And we're also on Facebook with the same name, Instagram, Twitter. I feel like I'm missing something. LinkedIn, you name it. We're out there. And so if you can send us a message on our website, I would definitely love to follow up with you and see if we can connect you to any resources that can help you.
Thank you. That'd be awesome.
Elle, you can also feel free to send an email to cancerinfo@cau.edu.
Okay, great. I'm an alumni of Clark, so I'm all with that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And congratulations. So I wanted to talk again about, thank you so much for the positive mm-hmm. words. I think that's mm-hmm. really, really important, the communication aspect. I want to talk about how the roles changed, LaToya. Mm-hmm. Like how did you feel that, you know, mom's matriarch, she's, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. she takes care of everyone.
Absolutely.
How was it for you and the family mm-hmm. when you mm-hmm. had to become mm-hmm. that person, you and or your siblings had mm-hmm. to become the person to say, okay, mm-hmm. mom, mm-hmm. this is what we're going to do. This is what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. As a child, you always see your parents as parents. Until you become a parent and until you become married is when you can actually look at your parents and actually see them as human, not just mom,
right.
not just dad. Until you've had to experience some things yourself and then kind of put yourselves in their shoes. At the same time, you also understand the value of love and how love is always constantly growing and transitioning. And as a child, when you look at your parent who's now experiencing a what is considered maybe a setback, a fall, or just however you want to look at it, what happens is you now have to grow in another level of love where support comes now. Now you've got to be able to say, okay, you know, mom, if I'm a little forceful, it's not because I'm being disrespectful.
Sure.
You know, I'm not being disrespectful. And you have to come out of the child role and you have to come into, you know, love, support, caretaker.
Sure.
And so, you know, there were times naturally which were sometimes frustrating because you want it to be over quickly.
Right.
You are used to seeing your parents, like we mentioned earlier, in a strong capacity. You're used to seeing them taking care of everything and just always at the highest level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you have to realize and say, you know what? I have got to step up and help my parent, my sister, my brother, whoever it is in the family.
Sure.
You have to step up to help them push where they don't have the strength to push.
Right.
And that's the team aspect, the love aspect of the support aspect in family that you have to operate in when they're going through.
Absolutely.
You know, so it was a transition. I had to step out of being mommy role. I
right.
had to step out of being daughter role. I had to step into leadership, strength, and both my sister and brother and I both did that.
Absolutely.
My brother was in Maryland. He was, like I mentioned before, going through his own thing, but there was a time when he came in and he was very supportive. He was the patriarch in the family at that time, you know, for me and my sister to see it, you know.
Excellent. So you're listening to WCLK, Your Health Connection. We are taking your calls live. Call us at 404-880-9255. You might hear something similar here that you've gone through, you're currently going through. You're more than welcome to call and talk with our cancer survivor. Call in as a family member. Maybe you had to become the caregiver, the primary caregiver of the family, only child, as our last caller said. And so, you know, it's hard when you don't have the siblings to shift the roles to, okay, well, I'm helping mom or dad or whomever in the family from Monday through Wednesday. And then mm-hmm. another sibling comes in and it just helps when the load can be shared. Mom, I wanted to ask you how you might have felt in a role reversal type of situation to, you know, you're almost incapacitated and mm-hmm. your children are now at the helm saying, okay, this is what we're going to do.
To be honest, I was very uncomfortable in that place, you know. I guess that's the reason why I kept pushing, because I was so used to wanting to take care of everybody and wanted to answer every problem they had or try to tell them how to solve every problem. So I felt a little uncomfortable, but they all, including my husband, they handled me with kid gloves in a way, and that was something I wasn't really used to. They was there, and my husband would let me lay down and rest as long as I had to lay down and rest. And sometimes I would think, why you let me just, I want to get up and do something, you know. So it was kind of uncomfortable. But I'm learning how to be patient now. I'm learning how to accept when somebody pulled the love back to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What are some of the day-to-day tasks that you might have had to take on, LaToya, Siobhan, mm-hmm. to help out, and, you know, things that you might not have been expected or might not have been used to doing? I heard that you mentioned that you and your mom had to basically walk through this entire thing to help your grandfather. What are some of the things that you had to do on a daily?
Yeah, well, my grandfather was very independent. And used to living on his own for quite some time. He retired in Virginia, literally in the middle of nowhere. The nearest neighbor, I mean, you can even see the nearest neighbor. That's how isolated he was. And so he was accustomed to living on his own and having his own ways. And so the transition from living in, we call it the backwoods of Virginia, by himself to residing in the home with my mother was a huge transition. Not being able to cook for himself, something as basic. I mean, I remember bringing him ginger ale whenever he wanted and making sure there was a straw in there because that was the easiest way for him to drink his ginger ale. Or, you know, anything that he wanted, being able to, you know, be that person. And primarily it was my mother day to day. And, you know, and like LaToya mentioned earlier, you know, you're still working a full-time job. Yeah. You know, they don't say, oh, you're a caregiver. Oh, you get this day off to take your loved one to a doctor's appointment. You know, you don't get that. So it was my brother playing an instrumental role with making sure my grandfather got to his doctor's appointment when he needed to go. I also have to give a shout out to American Cancer Society. Mm-hmm. They were very helpful mm-hmm. with transporting my grandfather to his doctor's appointments when we weren't able to. Mm-hmm. And so if there's any listeners out there that are in need of that, because I know that's a big concern, mm-hmm. They have a wonderful program if you do some research into it. Mm-hmm. So that was very helpful. Mm-hmm. But just doing those things and also dealing with the nurses that would come in on a daily basis mm-hmm. and dealing with the insurance companies. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You have to be such an advocate We had to fight for, I don't want to use the word fight, but have conversations around different aspects of my grandfather's care. Mm-hmm. And we were very blessed that we have a family of nurses and physicians that we can call and kind of get like, this is the situation because it's something you've never been through. Mm-hmm. What do we do? Yeah. And they were like, well, I used to do that. And you need to ask this. Like my Aunt Jacqueline was the one. She said, you know, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And she really guided us through the process. Mm-hmm. And so those were just a lot of things that, you know, we had never encountered, but we learned through God's support to get through it and through prayer and being advocates and doing our research to get through it. And we got through it the best we could.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I will say that we shared, my sister and I, because we are here with my mom. My brother, like I said, is in Maryland. Mm-hmm. My stepfather was here. So between my sister, my stepdad, and myself, we shared the responsibility of taking my mother to chemo. We're grateful that she didn't have to do radiation. Mm-hmm. And to go back just a little bit, the cancer was designated to the tumor itself. So by the grace of God, it did not spread to her lymph nodes. It didn't spread. They were able to get it and contain it. And my mother's recovery is what they considered like a textbook recovery because they were able to go in, take the tumor. They did remove some of her stomach at the same time, but there was no spread by God's grace.
Excellent.
And like I said, we shared the responsibility of taking her back and forth. She was treated at Emory in the Winship Center, mm-hmm. and she had an awesome set of nurses
Excellent.
And doctors who was very supportive of her. And, you know, just going in as a family member, sitting in there, and you're there to be positive and supportive, to see them being hooked up to the port and receiving the chemo. Sometimes there were some situations around us that didn't look great.
Right.
You know, and I'm just honestly, you have to make sure you designate that energy to focus directly on your family member to drive that positive energy. We kept books there. We talked to her. We laughed. We held her hand, you know, and we were there every step of the way. So we will alternate. It is something, like she mentioned, you don't get a day off. Nobody really is, you don't have much support behind you sometimes. But for the most part, if you can be the best support for that person that you possibly can, hopefully you do have family, friends, or spouses that are around you that are your additional support. So it is it's a chain link situation where everybody has to be connected to help your loved ones live.
Right. Cope and live. It's indeed a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK 91.9 FM. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kimberly Davis with the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Prostate cancer often has no early warning signs or symptoms, but screening can detect the cancer in its earliest stages when it is most curable. The key is to know your numbers. Annual testing with the prostate-specific antigen test, or PSA, can lead to early detection and cancer confined to the prostate that has a significantly higher cure rate. Know what your PSA number is every year. Do not accept your PSA is normal. Ask for the actual number. This might be the most important number of your life. For more information, contact the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at 404-880-6878. Or email us at cancerinfo@cau.edu. This message has been brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.